Greetings and welcome to a belated edition of the FPL Dilemma for an Addict, the official podcast, the Facebook community, the Football Addicts. My name's William and with me is Bakes. Mate, how are we going this evening?
Mate, happy new year, William. It's been a while.
Yeah, too long.
Game week 17 was our last pod. We've been off drinking beer and enjoying summer. How have you been, mate?
Yeah, not too bad. Yeah, not too bad. Getting there. It's pretty slow summer, actually. I'm a teacher, so we had a sort of, we get a, you know, extended holiday. So I think we, it's a 6 week holiday. So yeah, it's certainly not too shabby. Another couple of weeks would have been nice, but I was certainly not complaining.
Yeah, 6 weeks, mate. I mean, I went pretty deep myself. I had four.
Oh, wow.
And as I was saying, I'm a little bit foggy coming back to work this week or last week. But yeah, it's been a great summer. I went camping a bit, so plenty of fishing and surfing and mucking around with the kids. So it's been a great summer, actually.
So you kept up with your FPL team over the holidays?
I did. The internet was a little bit patchy, but I've had a great run, actually.
Good.
You know, I feel like 2016, there's a bit of order being restored to the chaos that was the first half of this comp.
Sure.
You know, Aguero, my capitan, has been rifling me up the rankings. So I think I was around 500,000 odd in game week 17, and now I'm sitting at about 230,000.
Oh, good. Yeah.
So I've screamed up the rankings. Mm. I had a couple of really good scores. I had a 50 and a 80 and a 67 last weekend. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, I feel like the cream, our old trusted and tried FPL champions are coming to the fore.
Sure, and with Sanchez coming back as well, he's one of those players that has been certainly tried and tested, but sort of seemed to be a bit out of form at one point and then exploded and then got injured. So it looks like he's back as well, so that should be...
Yeah, even Eden Hazard scored a goal last night in the FA Cup and provided a couple of assists. You know, Oscar's on the Chelsea's scoring goals, Manchester City scoring goals, Silva's looking better, Eriksen's back from, I don't know where he's been, but he's back in a big way. Probably him and Firmino, the players, you know, really in form at the moment. So yeah, order's being restored.
Well, that's good, it's a good thing. So we'll look at, we said our last pod was on Game Week 17, so we're going to go and have a look and just have a quick recap on how our own sort of personal teams have gone. I think I've done pretty well in game week 17. I was going really well. In game week 11, I was ranked 55,000. That was around the first Sergio Aguero haul in game week 18 against Newcastle. And then I tumbled down to 220K after some... I took some pretty risky captain choices. But I took Mane 1 week and then I took Wijnaldum another week, and they both got blanks. But since then, game week 17, I was ranked 220K, and now in game week 23, I'm ranked 68K. So,
oh, nice.
So that's a pretty good increase decrease in ranking. Yeah, as you said, primarily due to Aguero in game week 22 when I captained them away at Palace. So that's pretty well the story of my history, recent history. So yeah, it's pretty well, all thanks to Aguero, I guess. Much same with you, I guess.
I mean, who else has been key for you?
God, I don't even know. Kane. Oh, but actually, that game week when Aguero scored the two against Palace, I think I had a couple of... I got 84 that game week, and I had a couple of defence. Ashley Williams. He got 15 points against Watford. He scored the goal, got the clean sheet, and got the 3 bonus points.
Nice.
That was so good.
That's about it, really.
Yeah.
It's about as good as it
gets. It's not often you get those kind of points, and he really come through that week. Just absolute legend. He went down in sort of folklore. Sort of my recent family, family history, recent history. I don't know. I got in game week 19. I got 75 points, but I was only ranked 500k for the weekly rank. Now, who scored well for me that week? I can't remember. I've just got like these template players. I can't even remember. Oh, that's right. I brought in Arnautovic, and he got. Arnautovic did pretty well for a couple of weeks there. He got. It was at the goal and the assist against, who'd they play that week? Was it Everton, that 3-4 game? Yeah. So he's a guy that went that has done pretty well for me. Johnny Evans has dripped in with points. He's been pretty good. Danny Rose was a complete disaster. I went for him as differential against Alderweireld because he started like 5 or 6 games in a row, and you know he had good creativity stats and he really did. Did nothing really. So I'll check game week 20 because I went up a few ranks that game. Who went well with me that game week? So I got Arnautovic. Johnny Evans got 10 points that game week. So yeah, Johnny Evans has scored a goal. So he's done pretty well. And that's about it really. I sort of didn't have any other differentials. The big one was just Aguero because his ownership was still pretty low at the time. And I just managed to sort of get that captain that week. Actually, that week was interesting because they were playing Crystal Palace away. Now, I was having a chat with some people on Facebook, and this statistic came up, and it said that Aguero has never scored against Palace, and they said don't captain him. So I did a bit of research, and it turned out that the only time, so Aguero had never played Palace away before. He had played him at home a couple of times, I think, and he'd only actually played Palace twice in the league. So that was was basically next to no data to go on. And so if you looked at Man City's data away from home for the season, it's been pretty good. Like, they've still been taking shots. Their shot numbers have still been good. They just haven't been scoring. Like, their goal conversion has been down. So I took a bit of a risk. The other big captaincy option was Harry Kane, and in the early game, Harry Kane scored 10 points. And I'm thinking, oh, you bugger, like, you know, this always happens. Like, this will happen. Aguero will score nothing, and I've had to sit there and watch Kane score. I think he scored 2 goals. But then anyway, like, Aguero got 2 goals and assists, so that was really good. So, yeah, just Aguero for me.
I've had Kane in my team as well, and I was looking at that, and I was feeling a little bit sick.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Aguero came through. Yeah, for me, it's been a mixed bag. One of my unsung heroes has been Matt Target, which... He's been sitting on my bench since round one.
Yeah.
And suddenly got picked out of the blue. I wasn't tracking him at all.
No.
Got something like, you know, 9 points. And immediately I played him the next week and the next week, and he's got 11 points and 6 points. So he's got a tough game this weekend, but he's definitely a core part of my team going forward.
Oh, for that doubt.
And he'll be surviving the wild card. Absolutely. He's posting up some great numbers in FPL, and he's at a meager 3.8 at this point in time, I think, but I'm sure that'll scream up.
Yeah, and for like a 3.8 defender from a defensively strong Southampton team is just absolute gold. And I think Southampton had that little bad patch when they were losing games. And I actually, I've started a blog recently, and I uploaded an article on Southampton, and I looked at their numbers, and the numbers weren't that bad. And I said, just, you know, if you do have these FPL players from Southampton, just keep them, don't get rid of them, because they will turn it around, and they have turned it around. Literally, like, the week after I posted that article, they beat Watford away, I think, or at home or something.
The last 4 game weeks, they've been the number one defensive team in the Premier League. They've only conceded 1 goal.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, they've conceded only 11 shots inside the box. Now, the next best is actually Aston Villa with 21.
Yeah, that's I saw that. Their defensive numbers last 4 game weeks are incredible.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Mm. They're leading every stat in defence over the last 4 game weeks. So, Matt Target's become really, really impressive. That said, I'm not sure that I'll play him this week against Arsenal.
They're playing Arsenal. Yeah.
I think Arsenal were at home and going to pump Southampton.
Yep, that's
especially after being pumped themselves.
Yeah, really. That's right. Yeah, the first fixture. Yeah, they pumped them. It was a 4-0, I think.
Yeah, but he'll be in my team more often than not from now to the end.
Yeah.
So we were talking before the pod, but Southampton have changed the way they're approaching things with a 3-5-2. So Target's actually in quite an advanced position.
Yeah.
He's playing out of position, and he's playing a very attacking left role for Southampton.
Yeah. That's the beauty with someone like Matt Target. I want to bring in Matt Target. I think he's not 100% nailed on, but I think that's his spot to lose. And I know a lot of people are saying, don't get him in, he's not nailed on, but I think that's his spot to lose. And, I mean, I agree he's not 100% nailed on. There comes a very, very, very minimal risk. I mean, it's not a big risk because he's only worth 3.8. I mean, and that's the beauty of it. Like, with a player like Matt Target, he's at a strong team that's been strong all year in terms of, you know, their numbers, their shot numbers have been good, their expected goals have been good. He's easy to rotate because he's only 3.8. And before the pod, we were talking, after a couple of games he had played, and I think, I can't remember his first game he played, but when they started playing the new formation, we're talking for the pod. Now, I'm looking at data from the footballintheclouds.blogspot.com.au, and it's really interesting stuff. The data that this guy produces is incredible. Now, we know that shots on target ratio is really important, and it's a very good indicator of how a team performs. Anyway, this dude, he's got all the players listed, and you can actually have a look at the shots on target for a particular player's team when this particular player is on the field. Now, the best in terms of the shots on target ratio relative percentage, Vincent Kompany is the best in the league. Now, that's not a surprise because we know how good he is and we know how vital he is to the Man City team. So he's you can almost say he's probably up there, potentially the most valuable player in the league. Number two is Matt Target from Southampton. That just proves how well the system is going now that Koeman has altered it to that new formation. Now, I'm not sure. I know Southampton are pretty... I think they're pretty involved in their stats. I've heard about a thing called the black room that they've got there, or the black box, and I think that might be to do with more recruitment than sort of numbers and tactics. But I've got a feeling that they know a bit about their stats, and I think that they can see that how valuable this new system is and how valuable Matt Target is to that team. So that's sort of tipped me over the edge in terms of, I think that, you know, he is a good player, and I think he's a good FPL option. So
yeah, definitely. The other guys that have been, you know, pretty much nailed on for me. Bellerin has had a couple of good weeks. Butland has had a couple of good weeks, although the last, I think, 3 weeks haven't been so good. Got the end of Ozil's run, I think, week 18, and he's been pretty dry since then.
Yeah.
Willian had a good week. Dele Alli's been fantastic. I've just bought Payet in. And he's yet to return anything of substance. I bought him in his second week back. Of course, the first week back he went nuts.
And silly, yeah, and then he's done nothing.
And then everyone brought him in, he's done nothing.
He's been playing well, but...
So, Aguero, Lukaku is, you know, he's on his last legs. He has to score about 7 against Newcastle for me to retain him.
Yeah, he probably
going
will.
Forward. And Newcastle is much improved, which you'd be happy about.
Yeah, they've looked a bit better. But they lost last game week to Watford, but yeah, they've looked a bit better.
Yeah, Shelby's making a big difference there, I reckon.
Yeah, he played well against West Ham. I'm still not confident, but there's rumours of them signing the Berahino from, well, not rumours. I think there's substance to it, that signing Berahino. So
yeah,
he'll be all right. He's a talented player. I think he might make a difference. So. We'll see. I mean, I think that we'll get relegated, which sad to say, but don't know.
Yeah, I can't see Newcastle being relegated over Norwich.
Yeah, Norwich are pretty well. So yeah, Norwich are, yeah, they, yeah, it's conceding 5 against Liverpool. Yeah, I think
Newcastle will end up very much in the safe zone.
Interesting. We'll see. Yeah, I forgot about Norwich. Yeah, so I've actually sold Bellerin and Ozil. So there you go.
All right.
I sold Bellerin a couple of weeks ago to get payout because I wanted to keep KDB. So uh-huh. And I've actually sold Ozil yesterday to get Sanchez's price rise. Okay. Yeah, so I had two free transfers this week. I sold KDB for Dele Alli, and then I brought in Sanchez for Ozil.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's probably a bit short-sighted, but it's getting to the point now where you sort of have to find those players that have really high ownership and that they're sort of not performing, they're not getting the returns, might be getting the stats and playing well, but someone like Sanchez comes along at 10, you know, he's a differential. He's got, you know, on the FPL website, he's owned by 10% of the game, you know, give or take, that can be like 5% because of dead teams, you know, so you've got to sort of start taking some risks.
So just quickly, I mean, I'm in full agreement of you. I was having a look at where I ended up last year. I came 67,000. I'm languishing at 232,000, and you've hit the nail on the head. I want to move on guys like Mahrez, Lukaku, Ozil, high ownership guys who I think are maybe coming to the end of their run, and start to take some risks into the second half. And that's why I'm sort of tossing up with playing my wild card to bring in, you know, guys. And I think that I've made a bit of a short list, but it'd be interesting to see your thoughts as well. Obviously, you know, Sanchez coming in, it's an interesting one. I mean, Ozil far outscored Sanchez when they were playing together. Sanchez had three good weeks, and that was it. He's actually produced nothing apart from three massive weeks where everyone just dropped everything to get him in. But apart from that, he actually didn't get much over 3 points per week for about 15 weeks. So he is a tough one, but I think that what he does is he comes in with a fresh body. I know he's got over an injury, but the appeal is he comes in with a fresh body. He looks lively. He looks fantastic on the field. And he's making a difference. I think he scored on the weekend. I next to these guys who have sort of slogged it out for 3 or 4 months straight, these guys like Sanchez, you know, David Silva hasn't played a lot of football. He's now starting to get some important touches. And with KDB gone, you know, it's sort of business as usual at City. You have Navas and Sterling and Silva in the number 10 role and feeding Aguero up front. So he's also one, you know, Eden Hazard, dare I say. He had a great game against a pretty average opponent, MK Dons. So I think that's what Milton Keynes is. Is that Wimbledon? The old Wimbledon?
Yeah, it's the old Wimbledon. I don't quite understand.
A goal and an assist or two. But I actually read through the. I didn't see the game, but I read through the activity. He must have provided the last pass before about, you know, 15 goal attempts that game, or made goal attempts himself. So. All right. He's looking like he's coming to some form as well. So this old guard of premium, fallen premiums, you could call them, are kind of hovering, and they could make a massive difference if they fire up.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that you've gone Sanchez, and I'm just sort of tossing up whether you jump on some of these guys, play the wild card, even considering Diego Costa. As well, he's had a fantastic run under Hiddink.
Certainly differential. Now, I've actually prior to recording this episode, I went into the Fantasy Football Scout forum, and I have now Bakes is considering wildcarding, and I said not to. I advised him not to, primarily because of just double game weeks coming up, and I think Bakes' team is better than mine at the moment. So, usually I think your team is stronger than mine at the moment.
Shall I quickly go through it?
Yeah. Your defence and your fifth midfielder is better than mine.
So I've got Butland playing in goal with McCarthy, who's not playing at the moment, as a backup. I've got Bellerin, Dyer, Dawson, with Target and Wally, Bolchard from Stoke. So I got double Stoke there. Then I got in the midfield Payet, Ali, Willian, Ozil, and Mahrez. And up front, I've got Kane, Aguero, and Lukaku. And really what I'm looking at is, you know, Ozil has had a rest now. He really has to come back in and start generating points. Lukaku, for me, is on the way out. I don't think much can save him. Mahrez has gone quiet. I'm keen to shed him because of his high ownership. And Willian, I'm happy to keep Willian, but I want something with Chelsea. I think Chelsea's going to scream up the table. So I'm looking at Willian, but I'm also looking at, you know, how Chelsea line up, how Hazard's going to go. I either want either Costa or Hazard in there, and I probably would prefer a Chelsea defender over an Arsenal defender as well. So I'm sort of tossing up with all these things. And, of course, as soon as David Silva shows a bit more signs of life, he's straight back in there somewhere as well. So, yeah, interesting days.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I'm not considering Hazard at all. Costa is an option. I just don't trust Hazard. I'd have to see... You'd have to see something from him first. Yeah, he scored against MK Dons, but I don't know. I'll say these are some of the comments of the Fantasy Football Scout forum. The Raging Bull is a user. He said, "I wouldn't if I was you." Next fellow said, "Tell your friend to come and ask himself." Rare righto. Then the next fella said,
great one.
And the other, someone named Hookie said, "No, and tell your friend to stop being lazy and get their own account." Whatever. And then this other fella said, "Yeah, right, that's your team, not your friends." So, yeah, so you got two no's.
Okay.
So, I can see what you're saying, like you rank 200,000 and it's good, you know, a couple of differentials will sort of bolster that and there's a good chance you will make, you know, you'll decrease your rank by 100K in a couple of weeks. It's just, yep. It's just double game weeks coming up.
So just the strategy with the double game weeks, this is only my second year playing this, but
yeah,
you know, we've got game week 27 coming up and we've got, you know, two premium teams being, one premium team, Manchester City, will miss out on that game and on that week.
Yeah.
Newcastle will miss out on that week. Liverpool will miss out on that week. And is it Everton?
Yeah.
Will miss out on that week. So, bearing in mind that a double game week has not been declared for game week 25, which is next week.
Yeah.
So is it, you obviously can't really load up on Manchester, Liverpool, on those four teams.
No, you can't.
Is that correct?
Yep.
Because they'll end up on the bench.
Yep.
But at some stage, they will play a double game week. Yep. So those four games will get played. But they're kind of running out of weeks to do it. So how do they fit it all in?
They'll make it fit. And then there'll be other double game weeks as well. There'll be other ones. Because you've got... Okay. I was reading something before. Like game week 36 and 37, there'll be more as well.
So that's right at the end of the season.
Yeah.
So is that the strategy? You just hang on to your wild card until right to the end of the season and really just cash in on these game weeks?
I mean, yeah. I did it last season and it didn't work for me. It's funny you say that. Like, I've been playing for a while now and... Almost every, like, last, say, four seasons of the only season where I've kept, like, prior to this season, you had two wild cards. You can only play one in January, and you can keep one for the entire season. Now, of the last four seasons before this one, the season that I performed the most poorly was the season where I kept my wild card for double game weeks at the end of the season. Now, I mean, that doesn't prove anything, but that's just like a bit of, you know, bit of anecdotal sort of evidence that I have that maybe keeping your wild card for double game weeks is not such a great idea. But, I mean, in theory it is, but yeah, there is an element of luck.
Well, the difference this year is you got these chips, okay?
Yeah.
So you got the, particularly the bench boost and the triple captain. And you got to time them really well.
Yeah.
And the other thing is you can't ruin your team for the sake of a double game week. So you're left with that team the week after. So it is interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
I was talking about this with guys at work, and they're just absolutely not sure how to approach it.
I think the best, the way that I've been thinking about approaching is that not playing your wild card before the double game week, but say we're going to get up to game week 30, and by then we'll have a pretty good idea of when the double game week is. So from this double game week and say game week 36 and game week 37, there's a whole bunch of teams playing twice. You can sort of plan your trades from then, from like say game week 30 up until game week 36, and then you could either play your wild card before, or you could play it after. So you can actually sort of play your wild card after, and then so you can get rid of all those double game week players,
right?
That you've traded in. That's one way. I mean, I'd probably never do it that way. I'd still probably play my wild card before and then load up. But the thing is that you can't actually play your wild card and another chip in the same game week.
In the same week, yes. Yeah. You have to look. So it's almost better to, even if you have to take a hit, yeah, to load up.
Take a couple of hits.
Use your wild card to undo all the carnage.
The carnage, yeah. That's one way to do it. So what I was thinking, that if I was going to play my wild card prior to the double gaming, I'd probably do it the week before. So I'll load up on double game week, and then I'll sort of plan my one trade from say game week 35 to game week 36, and then I'd play probably my triple captain in that game week 36.
Yeah, so. And his triple captain will obviously be probably more.
Yeah, would it be whatever? More, yeah. Yeah, was it 6x6 or whatever? Yeah.
Yeah,
double game week, triple captain, but then the bench boost wouldn't be too bad either, because if you played your wild card, if you get like your whole team of double game week players, then you got your bench boost.
Yeah,
that's not bad either. But that's if you pull that off and you manage to get, you know, your whole bench getting returns, then, you know,
yeah,
someone upstairs is looking after you. So, mate, yeah, that's...
You got Elliot on your bench, you got Wijnaldum, you got Mitrovic, you got...
Yeah.
I mean, you could really ruin your team.
You could, yeah.
You almost needed two wild cards, one to ruin it and one to undo it.
So, yeah, it's good. It's interesting. I think that's probably one of the reasons why... The chips is probably one of the reasons why there's been such... variation in the overall ranking, because there's just all these points and going everywhere.
Yeah.
All right, so that's a good discussion. We're just thinking we'll probably just touch on some of the big scorers from last game week. I'll just pick out a couple and then quickly sort of talk about them. The first player, I've only just picked out one keeper because he's pretty interesting. Ben Foster. Now, for West Brom. Now, it looks like looks like he's injured again, I think I read. So, and I was reading on a forum somewhere that someone had traded out Myhill for another keeper for a hit or something, and it turns out that, so because Myhill had lost his spot to Foster, but now Foster's back. I mean, for the Foster come back, and now he's injured again. So now, looks like Myhill is going to go back in again, so...
That's a bit of a disaster, really, because, you know, I think that they're a different team with Foster in as keeper. Mm. I've had Craig Dawson in most of the season. I like him as a player. I think he's well priced, but they just can't keep clean sheet.
Yeah.
And for Pulis, coached side. They've been really disappointing.
Yeah,
Pawson's returns have been disappointing.
Mm.
And so many times he's come close to scoring or assisting, and yet he just can't nail that clean sheet, which is really why you're picking defenders.
Yeah.
And as soon as Foster came in, I think they had a clean sheet or two clean sheets in a row. So I'll be disappointed to see him, to see Myhill back in. I think Foster just rallies the defence a lot better.
Yeah, I was inclined to say no, I probably wouldn't bother getting him in. Michael Cayley, analyst, he with his data, his expected goals suggests that they are underperforming slightly in terms of goals conceded, but. Yeah, I think, I mean, at 4.9 Ben Foster, I think for a little bit more, you could probably get someone better. I mean, although someone like Fraser Foster has two bad fixtures coming up, after those two fixtures, their fixtures turn again, and I think he's a way better option for cheaper. So if you look at West Brom's pretty interesting. Their total shots and target ratio at a close game state is very poor. So for me, that's pretty telling, and that's one of the reasons why I probably definitely wouldn't be getting in West Brom. Assets. So that's basically saying that West Brom are taking less shots on target when the score is close. That's a pretty decent indicator for performance. And it's a poorest team, and all these teams are a bit wacky. They could go on a run and keep a couple of clean sheets, but yeah, I wouldn't bother getting someone like him in.
They're sort of ranking middle of the road in terms of defensive. You know, defensive effort. I mean, the goal attempts conceded over the past 4 weeks is 49, which is, you know, similar to Manchester United, who have been lauded for their defensive capabilities. It's really middle of the road. So I was hoping that they'd be, you know, a lot further close, a lot closer to the pointier end.
Yeah. So excuse the noise. I've got my cats are going Berko. This bloody idiots. I probably wouldn't bother getting him in. Well, so the next fella I wanted to talk about was Ivanovic. He's going on a bit of a tear.
It's one of these guys I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It's FPL normal broadcasting has resumed. Mm. Ivanovic, the star of last year, absolutely carving it up.
Definitely.
You know, him and Eriksen. It's probably been the two form FPL players in the last 2 or 3 weeks now.
Yeah, Eriksen's the other one. It's pretty. Yeah, I mean, I'm seriously considering getting him in. Well, I was considering getting him in this week, but I went into the double midfield trade. It certainly seems like the change in management sort of has correlated with his upturn in attacking impetus. And he's a good attacking fullback, which, you know, and as you said, that's been showcased in previous seasons. I looked at his underlying stats, and it looks like he actually doesn't. The data suggests he doesn't attack much at all, which is strange because he's getting these returns. In the last 4 game weeks, he's only had one shot, and Azpilicueta has actually created more chances than him, which was interesting. I don't mind the look of Kurt Zouma, and it almost looks like he might be nailed on, because I think Gary Cahill played this morning in the FA Cup. But, I mean, Ivanovic, he's still a good pick because, I mean, we know what he's capable of. And, I mean, and as well, I think the change in management is sort of, they've got 3 clean sheets in the last 5 or 6, so that's certainly changed a bit as well.
Yeah, I mean, Zouma, I agree with you. I think Hiddink has settled on Zouma and Terry.
It looks like it,
And I think Zouma at 5.4... is a fantastic addition to the defence. I think Chelsea, you know, they kept Arsenal to zero. I know it was virtually a 10-man Arsenal, but...
They've
had a fantastic run the last few weeks.
Mm.
Chelsea are back in a big way, I reckon. Ivanovic is creating. They're keeping clean sheets. Courtois is playing really well in goal. They seem to have a settled defence. They just look a lot more settled, I reckon, Chelsea, and their results are good.
Yeah, they are pretty good. So look at who else want to talk about? Patrick Van Aanholt's just scoring goals, just for the sake of it.
Yeah, he's got, surely that is not sustainable. That's crazy. I mean, he's had four in a row.
Four goals in four games, yeah.
He did this last year too, didn't he? He did four in a row. Everyone brought him in and then he did nothing.
I'm not sure if it was... I can't remember. There was, towards the end of the season, he was getting a lot of returns. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. It's a bit weird. I mean, I wouldn't be getting him in. Maybe if you're on a wild card, you know, you might... I don't know. It's just... That's just weird. I don't even... Yeah, it's just weird. That's all I've got to say about that. There's not much more. Craig Dawson came through. Did you play him this week or did you bench him?
I did. No, I played him.
Played him good. Who'd they play? Was it Bournemouth? Or was it the week before?
I can't remember. It was Aston Villa, actually. So he picked up man of the match.
Was it nil all? Was that one?
Nil all. Got three bonus points.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
But, you know, they got pumped 3-0 by Southampton. Chelsea was 2-2. So, before that, you know, it's really been slim pickings. They've just been conceding just about every game. I think Newcastle, they shut out. But really, it's been a long time. I think it was back in October, their previous shutout.
Yeah.
Their previous... clean sheet against Norwich on the 24th of October. So, yeah, it's just been so disappointing.
I think their fixtures are good now. I'm pretty sure
they are. They're not too bad. Yeah. So I've kept Dawson.
Oh, you definitely keep him. You wouldn't. It's just you definitely keep them.
He's just he's such a good player. Like I'm not sure if you saw the header he did off the line running back towards his own goal.
No, I didn't see it.
Use the back of his head to clear the goal.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty impressive.
It's a certain goal. He just classy defence of the highest order. He's actually a standout in that West Brom defence.
He's a centre-back by trade. He's playing right-back, isn't he? Yeah.
Right-back, yeah.
That's typical Pulis behaviour, play centre-backs as full-backs. Yeah. Because Johnny Evans was playing on the... I think he is playing left-back at the moment, and he's been really good as well, like just individually playing... You know, just a solid, solid player, so versatile.
Yeah.
Who'd they? Yeah. Cool. Good fixtures. All right, let's have a look at. Wouldn't mind having a chat about Christian Fuchs and Virgil van Dijk. So let's look at Christian Fuchs. He's not a bad option. I mean, he might not warrant the funds to get his creativity when you can just get Danny Simpson, but he might not be a bad little differential. If Leicester keep defying the odds. I mean, I think Leicester's probably worth talking about themselves. Leicester keep beating the models, like all these analytical models and the mainstream media suggests that, you know, Leicester's going to regress, but they haven't. And Fuchs has good creation stats. If I was going to get a Leicester defender, I probably would go for Danny Simpson. But he could be worth that extra, like, points, was it 0.7 or whatever?
Absolutely. Leicester's having a great run. They've only conceded one goal in the last four weeks.
Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah, Leicester and Southampton are really informed. They've really tightened up at the back, Leicester.
Yeah.
Those high-scoring games where, you know, at the start of the season, they really relied on Mahrez and Vardy to outscore their opponents.
Yeah.
They were hit on the counter-attack. You score two, we'll score three.
Yeah.
But really, you know, those guys have dried up. If you have a look at their attacking output, it's not half of what it was, a month or two ago. But what has increased is their defensive capabilities. They're actually grinding out results. They're grinding out draws. They're grinding out low wins. I actually think that... Yeah, as a Liverpool supporter, I'm terrified of what's going to happen tomorrow morning because Liverpool is one of the leakiest sides over the last 4 weeks, conceding 10 goals, only beaten by Norwich and Crystal Palace, and even Sunderland's better than Liverpool. I actually think that Leicester could do a number on Liverpool and keep Liverpool quiet in attack.
That was one of the reasons why that coupled with the fact that Liverpool have a blank in game week 7, I was looking at Firmino because I do think it's a good option, but yeah, that sort of Leicester fixture sort of that sort of put me off a bit
absolutely
a bit as well. So, yeah, I agree. I mean, in terms of expected goals, I think it was Michael Kaley's expected goals, they actually sit on par. So they're not overperforming or they're not underperforming. So, like, that's good news for them because they're coming first. Yeah. So they've actually conceded what they should have conceded according to like the type, the quality of shots and the angles of shots that they've conceded. So, and they haven't conceded too many big chances in the last four either. But they sit in the middle of the pack for shots conceded as well. So yeah, I agree. I like the lesser defence, and if I had a free trade hanging about, which I never will, I'd probably get one of them in.
It's amazing, isn't it? I'd love to be a fly on the wall as to how they're being coached. I'd just love to know if this has been a real focus, knowing that at some point Vardy and Mahrez will lose a bit of form, will get tired, may pick up an injury. I know Vardy's had some niggling injuries that he's more or less played through.
Yes, yeah.
And just anticipating the attacking production drying, or even teams just working them out, and really in the background, really focusing on their defence and drying up teams against them, and whether they knew this was coming and they've prepared for it, it's quite amazing. Ranieri's been a fantastic coach all season. I wouldn't be surprised if they saw this coming and they've been preparing for it, but they've really completely shut up shop. So back to your point, Fuchs is a fantastic player. Obviously, it's 4.8, Simpson's 4.1. You've got to go Simpson at 4.1.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that you're getting an extra 0.7 out of Fuchs, but he's a great player.
He's a good player. He's good. He's really under the radar type stuff. Like, I mean, he's pretty old. I'm not sure how old he is. But I think he wasn't starting for... I can't remember, was he playing for Wolfsburg? He was playing for some team in Germany, and I don't think he was even starting.
Right.
So,
well,
yeah.
He's 29.
Oh, is he 29? Oh, there you go. I got that completely wrong.
From Austria. Yeah, so he captains the Austrian national team.
He's Austrian, yeah. I'm sure... Was it Wolfsburg or... No, Schalke. He's from Schalke, sorry.
Schalke.
I didn't realise he was so young. There you go. So, yeah, well, that's a great signing because they got him for next to nothing, I'm pretty sure. Or if I got that wrong as well, I can't remember. But, yeah.
They've got everyone for next to nothing.
Next to nothing, yeah.
They get Mahrez for, like,
minus
600 grand or something.
Yeah, something. Actually, I think, yeah, it was 400,000, something like that. And Vardy was, like, a million.
Mate, Gersbach from Sydney FC has just been sold for more. So there you go.
So yeah, that's you put it into perspective. It's just crazy. All right, so I'm going to look at Virgil van Dijk. Yep. So we think we've already spoken about Southampton, but I wouldn't mind talking about these guys some more. It's just, I mean, Southampton defenders, they've always been good options. I mean, they endured a period of what I thought was a bit of bad luck. They lost a few games against. They actually lost games against teams who rode high scoring percentages, and in the games, the teams that they lost to didn't dominate the shot count. So in the other games that they lost in that period, they lost like, what was it? Oh, there was a period there, except for the game against Arsenal, where they lost like a ton of games. The other games that they lost in that period were against tough teams, so teams they're expected to lose to. So it seems like they've come out of that spell. You can't sort of say they're out of form. They can just say like they had a bad spell. And the results are starting to look like they're coming their way. And they've started keeping clean sheets as well. So, and if you want someone completely nailed on, like, I mean, I think Matty Target's a good option, but if you want something 100% nailed on, then I think Virgil van Dijk's your option. I mean, as I said, I like Target, and he's coming to his second spell playing the structure. So, yeah, I think, and I like that. I think he's a good option. Matty Target's, as you said before, Matty Target's worth the risk.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, they did have a bad patch because they got beaten, by West Ham,
Stoke,
by Norwich,
yeah,
and then by Crystal Palace.
Mm.
And then they came good and beat Watford. They thrashed West Brom 3-0, and they beat Manchester United. I mean, the big thing that was that they got... was that they beat Arsenal 4-0.
Yeah,
that's bizarre. That was their big result.
Yeah.
And then they crashed and burnt for the next 3 weeks. So they've been really up and down.
Mm.
But over the last 4 weeks, no one has conceded less goals than Southampton. And yeah. I agree. They definitely need to, invest in their defence going forward. Van Dijk, I think Van Dijk's the pick.
Oh, you do? Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, Bertrand has glimpses of his form from last year, but Van Dijk's been the consistent presence there.
Yeah, I think he gets the bonus. I can't remember. I have had a look at sort of their attacking stats, and I think I've concluded that BVD was the pick, but I'm not sure since then. Can't remember.
Yeah, he's a bit like Williams from Swansea. When they get the clean sheet, he tends to get the 3 points.
Yeah. Yeah.
Williams always gets the 3 points.
Because, I got up, it was on a Monday morning, and I got up to watch that Swansea-Watford match where Ashley Williams scored. And Ashley Williams was incredible. He was like just head and balls, he was like a cannon. He's a cannon off his head. He was just any ball that would come in, like it, he'd head it like 50 metres. It was just incredible. And just something I was thinking about. But
just what Liverpool should buy him.
What they need, what they sort of seem to need. You've got Lovren, mate. It's all good.
He's actually coming good under Klopp.
Actually, I watched a video on Twitter, and he tackled a player, but he like fly kicked or something. But I have read that he's been looking a bit better.
Yeah, he's actually Klopp was in the press just today saying, "I'm surprised. I thought he was rubbish."
He was rubbish.
He's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
So, but it's funny because just looking at the bonus points this season, Williams is topping it along with Sagna with 17 bonus points.
Yeah.
And Van Dijk is about 8th with 11. Probably equal 5th, actually.
So that's pretty good. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Same
as Kolarov and Ivanovic. So up there with in good company. So that tells you that, and he's the leading defender from Southampton in terms of bonus points. With he's just leading Fonte and Glenn Johnson. Now Glenn Johnson's an interesting one. I think Glenn Johnson's been playing really well. He's been playing for Stoke, sorry.
Yeah, he's playing well. Yeah.
Yeah, but Fonte's is the other option. They're all pretty similar. At Southampton,
I think it's probably a flip of the coin, I guess. But VVD probably edges it just.
Yeah.
So, a few midfielders. I've had a look at Firmino, Dele Alli. They're probably the ones that sort of stood out from the game week. So yeah, Firmino, he's a good option. He's certainly at the top of my watch list. He's one of the form midfielders at the moment. I mean, there might be a slight hint of overperformance. He has around 30% contribution to Liverpool's shots and a high 50% contribution to goals. So you might expect that goal contribution to decrease. But, I'd be happy with a goal every two games from him. Saying that also, Aguero has a similar goal contribution profile. So if according to Paul Rowley's expected goals, Firmino is actually on par. So he scored 5 or 6 goals, and that's what he should have scored as well. So yeah, he's one of the obvious replacements for KDB, I think. But obviously that blank coming up is interesting.
Yeah, Firmino, he's going to score in clumps, isn't he?
Looks like it.
He had a fantastic game against City, where they won 4-1. Back in November.
Yeah.
Pretty dry. There was an assist on the 26th of December. Then he had a massive game against Arsenal where he scored 2 and got 2 bonus points. And then finally the game against Norwich, which was, that was just an incredible game. The highest of highs and the lowest of lows in that game.
Yeah.
And he ended up with 2 goals and assists, 3 bonus points, 18 points all up. I know a few guys at work actually brought him in for that game.
Oh,
and,
really?
They're just absolutely laughing. Liverpool concern me. I think that they sometimes you just wonder where their goals are going to come from. So there's positives and negatives with him. I think that he does tend to get these clumps and then not much in between. But what the things going for him are that he's playing out of position. He's leading the line, and he's clearly the preferred striker until Sturridge and Ings gets back. And if they come back, he'll probably sit just behind them anyway. Mm. So he's the man. He's always going to be an attacking threat for Liverpool. Mm. The second thing going for him is he's just on the improve. Like, he's just improved out of sight. Mm. He is playing with a swagger and arrogance, and teams are concerned about him.
He's enjoying his football. He's always happy. Even when Liverpool are losing, he's happy. So,
he's one of those. He's one of those frothers, isn't he?
He's a beast. He's a beast.
Everything's good.
Cool. So we went to Dele Alli. This guy's been getting close to essential now. His goal was out of this world. What was it? I think Eriksen got the assist. Eriksen headed it to him. I think Dele Alli chested it up, then he knocked it over his head, and then his back was away from goal. He's turned his body 180, and he's volleyed it outside of the box into the bottom left-hand corner.
It was outrageous.
It's just, that is pure technique. No superlatives. Just incredible.
Yeah, I mean, he's only a young guy, isn't he? At 5.4, he's one of the best midfielders in the game. You've got to have him, whether he's your midfielder 4 or your midfielder 5. He's cheap enough to be your fifth midfielder at this stage. Assuming that your team's gone up in value, your 4.5 midfielders, it's easier to slip in a 5.4 midfielder now.
If you have the value, I mean, you should be. What's your value? Your value is quite high, wasn't it?
She's 5.7 already. Yeah. So he's a must. I mean, the three people who've had the most goal attempt involvements are Christian Eriksen, Dele Alli, and Roberto Firmino in the last 4 weeks.
Yeah.
So they're the guys in form right now. And Dele Alli, there's just such a massive. A massive gap in the price. It's hard to go for an Eriksen, even though with Dele Alli, who is further up the pitch, playing as a second striker, and is $3 million cheaper.
Oh no, Dele Alli, he beats Eriksen out of the water. There's no compare. I think he is no comparison. Alli is the man at the moment. I think the thing with Eriksen is. I was looking at this before. Eriksen's interesting. If you look at non-penalty contribution to shots per 90, so this is contribution to shots, I'm assuming this is stats and shots per 90, he's actually the best in the league. Now, if you look at that raw stat, you go, oh, hang on, like, that's awesome, I've got to get him in. But the interesting thing with Eriksen is the majority of those contributions will be from chances created, key passes. Now, I went and had a look at his chance creation map, like on the field, and if you have a look, of all the chances he's created this season, only 3 of them have been from passes that have originated from inside the box. Only 3. So, that suggests that a lot of the chances that he's creating are coming from either long balls or crosses. Now, the chances of scoring a goal from a long ball or a cross are not great in comparison to a through ball. Whereas if you look at Mesut Ozil, of all the chances he's created this season, it's something like 12 of them have originated from inside the box. So looking at Eriksen's data, I think that's slightly skewed because he does create so many chances, but they're either from a long ball or a cross.
Yeah, okay.
So, whereas someone like... And he doesn't take many shots. I'm not sure how many shots he takes a game, but if you look at Dele Alli, he is the best... He has the best underlying statistics for a midfielder in the competition out of any of them at the moment.
Yeah.
And he's $3 million or so cheaper.
So over the last 4 weeks, it's quite interesting. Dele Alli and Christian Eriksen. So Dele Alli's taken 20 shots on goal. Christian Eriksen's taken 13.
Shots
on target is 7 each. Interestingly, the shots inside the box, Dele Alli's taken 10, and Christian Eriksen's taken 1. Shots outside the box, it's all outside the box.
Eriksen's done a critical. He's done very well to get 7 shots on target. I didn't realise that. That's pretty damn good.
He's leading. Him and Ali are leading all midfielders for shots on target over the last 4 weeks.
Yeah. See, Ali's a great pick. I mean, Eriksen's not a bad differential. There is that thing. I mean, I wouldn't consider Eriksen because of that, because I've already got Kane at the moment. And Dele Alli is just, he is such a great pick at the moment. He's probably the most valuable player in the game at the moment.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Like Mahrez was, say, 15 weeks ago.
Oh, it's the new Mahrez. That's why you can move Mahrez on. That's why I want to move him on.
Yeah, I want to move Mahrez on as well.
So you asked team value, including the what's in the bank, it's 107.3.
You can afford to have him as a fifth midfielder. Your value is pretty good. See, mine's rubbish. Mine's only, because I got rid of Vardy. Mine's at, my arithmetic's terrible. How's that for a teacher? 101.9 plus 3.7. 105.6. That's just woeful. Actually, I traded out KDB and who else did I trade? Ozil. So that would have knocked off like 0.5. So that's why mine's so low now.
That's why, for me to ship out Ozil and some of these guys, it's a big decision, because I'm making the decision that I'm never going to get them back in. It's going to be too painful.
Yeah. I didn't even think about that. Just that money thing. It was just Sanchez differential, Ali, easy enabler to fix up my defense.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I've got 3.7 in the bank now. So my defense is pretty horrible. I've got that Arke fella from Watford? He's rubbish now. Nathan Arke, Simon Francis from Bournemouth, Ashley Williams, Johnny Evans, and then Aspilicueta. So yeah, that's a bit of a no brainer. I need that cash, and he needs to fix up that defense next week. I'm actually looking at Kevin Wimmer from Tottenham.
Yeah, good choice.
Yeah.
So Vertonghen is probably gone for most of the rest of the season.
Yeah, at least 2 months there, I reckon.
And Wimmer came on, and he's a specialist central defender. Some people were saying Dyer might go back, but I think Dyer and Alderweireld just both like to play the right side of central defence.
I see. Interesting. Yeah,
and I think that Dyer will stay in his holding midfield role.
He's not going to disrupt Dyer. And who does he put? Who does he play with? Who's
Dembele?
Dembele. Yeah, he's been playing that. He's not going to disrupt that dynamic in the middle there.
I'm a Dyer holder, and I am nervous because whenever Tottenham need goals, he's the guy that tends to come off now, and Chadley tends to come on. So I am nervous. The flip of the coin decision to go Dyer over Alderweireld has just killed me this season. If I could just take one, they were both at the same
price.
They were both the same price when I made that decision.
It's tough.
And now Alderweireld's gone on to be 6.2 and basically leading the defenders.
At least,
and Dyer's languishing at 5.3.
At least Dyer's done something. I got Danny Rose instead.
Yep.
What's even worse is that I did bring Danny Rose in and I got rid of him, and then he got two assists against friggin' who'd they play? Does it 2 game weeks ago with the Aguero haul? Yeah, who'd they play? Sunderland. He got two assists. Like, I got rid of him the week before.
And I'm not completely sure he's won the battle with Davis.
I tried to sort of look at the trend and tried to work out, whether there was some kind of pattern, but there's not. I don't think there is. It's just random. He just flips a coin at the start of the game, right? You're playing Danny or you're playing Benny. Right. It's just, they can't. I tried to pick the trend. But there's just no trend. That was really annoying.
Yeah.
So, interesting. So we'll get, just quickly, I've picked out a couple of forwards, West Ham's Enna Valencia, and that's all really. I just want to talk about him. I think he's not a bad differential. I probably wouldn't get him in to replace either Lukaku or Kane yet. But yeah, if you're languishing and you're seriously chasing, I think he's not a bad option. I think West Ham, yeah, he's not a bad option.
Yeah, especially now that Payet's back. I mean, the assists are going to start flowing, and West Ham have a great run. So anyone from West Ham's worth a shout. My picks from West Ham are, I like Creswell over the next 4 weeks.
Yeah.
I really like Payet, of course. Yeah. And I think Valencia's a shout out as well. So. Especially seeing as though that Sacco and Carroll are on the long-term injury list. I mean, he's just got the run of it. The other option up forward for that budget role is Afobe.
From Bournemouth. Yeah,
he scored two in three games, and he looks great.
Yeah, they look good. The other one, Charlie Austin as well.
Yeah, would you say that he's nailed on at this point?
I think, I don't know. Well, he didn't start. I think he would be. I think Pella's finished.
Yeah.
He's finished, I think. And, yeah, I think they bought him to start. But, yeah, a bit of doubt there, possibly. But, yeah, there are a few sort of cheap strikers coming in. I mean, Igalo continues to annoy the hell out of me.
My God. He is leading all forwards by a country mile.
It's just, he needs to just go away.
I've never had him.
I've never had him. Yeah.
Just when I think he's just, you know, packed it up for the season, he comes out with a goal and an assist and 12 points and, oh my God, what am I doing with Lukaku?
Yeah, his ownership's pretty high. Like, if he scores two goals, like, that's like 10% of your overall ranking gone sort of thing. And you have to try and cover it with the strikers that you've got, and Lukaku hasn't done it, but...
Yeah, Lukaku is still at 48% ownership.
Oh, yeah.
Igalo's at 38%. Very high. It just, I mean, one thing that we never cover off in our podcast, but you want to play this game and be excited as well. You don't want to bring in some guy who's 40% owned.
No, because
you kind of feel like you're following it. I mean,
not
you
now.
Can't get bored.
Yeah.
things where you just go, you know, stuff it. I'm just going to do this because I feel good about this player. And I've been talking to guys who have bought in Lallana. For a laugh, they've bought in Lamella from Tottenham, not a bad option at all. But all these guys who can play a bit and have these runs, and they just think, well, stuff it. I'm just going to get someone in who's, you know, 0.4% owned and he's a good player and he's cheap and he's got every chance to have a good week or two. And I think that, you know, bringing in a Gala at this stage for me is just, I'd much prefer to bring in someone like a Phoebe who no one has heard about and who might put some runs on the board. And I just can't bring in a high ownership player at this point, especially because I'm not going that well as well. But by the same token, I don't want to take, you know, hits of 16 and then, you know, bomb out on the points as well. So I don't want to languish in the millions by the end of the season.
Yeah, that's right. So, cool. So quickly before we go, captains, Aguero.
If you have Aguero, it's got to be Aguero.
Yeah.
I also like Payet. West Ham play Aston Villa this weekend. Stoke have been quite fragile. My son, who's leading all the comps I'm in, he's only 10, has just bought in Rooney, Wayne Rooney, and he's a Man U fan, which we don't talk about much. But and Wayne Rooney's showing, you know, some really good form.
Yeah, signs of life. It's a heartbeat.
Yeah, so that's sort of got me worried a little bit. Lukaku, can he bring his A game?
Oh, he'll have to. Actually, this is actually quite good. I like that he's got Newcastle now, and I kind of like that he hasn't. I mean, I don't like he hasn't done much because there's no points for my team, but I kind of sort of like the fact that he hasn't done much. This is a last resort. If he doesn't get anything, he's gone because he has a blank.
Yeah,
and it's just something. as you said, it's a bit of excitement for me because I can look at, you know, which differential striker am I going to get in? Am I going to get Costa, Charlie Austin? You've got all these strikers that are sort of seem to be, you know, starting to score a bit. Their goal conversion are going up a bit. They're regressing positively. So I think it's good. So yeah, for me as well, he's certainly in the chopping block, and it sort of gives me something to think about and a bit of like forced analysis.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is an exciting game week this week.
It is.
You know, I'm torn between doing absolutely nothing and just saving my free transfer or playing my wildcard. So for me, I just think that, okay, well, I won't do anything. I'll sit on it. I'll see how we go, and then that will force my hand going forward. Do I, you know, if Costa comes out and scores two against Watford, well, I'll be looking to bring, you know, continues his run. I mean, he could be an option for Lukaku, but what does that sort of filter down? You know, I've also got my eye on Ivanovic, and he's expensive at the back. Got my eye on Silva, got my eye on other Chelsea players as well, like Hazard. Hazard was really good to me last year. So, you know, all eyes will be on Sanchez too. So if you bring in Costa, that may prevent you getting Sanchez, it may prevent you getting Hazard down the track. So it's very, very exciting time part of the season right now.
I think there's
some big make or break decisions coming up.
It is. I agree. I mean, actually, I feel pretty good because, I mean, none of us are performing very well. But at the same time, you don't feel sort of rubbish about it. I remember this time last season, I was ranked about 15,000, and I wasn't satisfied. I wasn't happy with it because my goal every season is top 10,000, and last season was the first season where I finished outside for a couple, but this season I just don't seem to really care. I've probably even enjoyed this season more than some of my previous ones, and I've performed nowhere near as good. So yeah, I mean this time of the season it's interesting. Like, and I think getting rid of Lukaku will be interesting and pretty exciting.
Well, the reason why it's interesting, obviously, is obviously doing this podcast as well. It makes you try harder, I think.
Yeah, you made some moves that sort of have to, don't you?
Probably wouldn't have made. But after talking to you, I sort of, you know, find myself in the transfers page, and then I just go ballistic and make a bundle of mistakes based on passion. But it does make you try harder. I think. I was much more relaxed about it last year and did a lot better.
And
this year I've really tried to do well, and it's just completely backfired. You know, I sell Silva because I think he's injured, and he comes in and scores in the goal and two assists. And I've been the probably the only guy in the whole game that's hung on to him the whole season. So incredible. I've just done all these crazy things. My captain choices have been terrible, but since the start of the year it's all sort of come together, and
because the
players that I'm comfortable with are starting to score well.
Awesome. Cool, guys, that will conclude our episode for tonight. Hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. We'll be seeing you next game week. How's that?
Okay,
awesome. All right, thanks, mate.
Okay, cheers.
See you, mate.
See you, Bill. Bye.